You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. And this week on The Weekend, we are visiting with Libby Berkley and Rosalba Ruiz-Holguin, and they're here with the BBC. And we'll explain a little bit more about that in just a minute. But first of all, ladies, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Louis, for inviting us.
Thank you.
We were discussing this before the program started, that when you hear the acronym the BBC, people get different ideas.
Yeah. It stands for the Binational Breastfeeding Coalition. And we did pick it because it was memorable. And we wanted to make sure that people, you know, asked us like you just did, like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And it is binational. So what we've been around for Rosalba for?
Since 2012.
So. And we've been doing the event that we're going to talk about today the whole time. And what we are is a coalition of both breastfeeding professionals or lactation consultants or breastfeeding advocates in other health professions. Mm-hmm. And we've just been doing events and activities and promoting the idea that we can help with breastfeeding, we can increase people's knowledge of the importance of it and to normalize mm-hmm. the practice as a normal human.
And practice. Rosalba, you have been involved in a lot of health issues for a long time now. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think the first time you all did the latch on that you shared it with us here as far as the information. So tell us a little bit about, you know, your experience and why you got involved in all of this.
Long story short, I worked for many years in diabetes. And that was my main focus. And I did breastfeed, but I did it in Juarez because I was living there. And then I got pregnant a second time, and then I started breastfeeding here in the United States. And it was really weird because people looked at me funny, so I was thinking, well, what's wrong with these people? Because it was so normal when I did it in Juarez 11 years prior to when I had my second child. So then I started looking at statistics and realizing that people were not breastfeeding. Because I was in another field, I didn't know. The other thing is that working in diabetes, the numbers are so staggering, and we haven't been able to make it stop and then decline. What it's been happening, it's been going up, and then realizing that that we had to start very young, younger and younger, because people were getting type 2 diabetes as young as 10 years old. So then I started, and this was kind of the back of my head. I was really, really worried, you know, what can I do? Because to me, it seemed like all the effort that I was doing, and I was doing any dent in diabetes. So then it dawned on me, and I said, well, if there's one thing that I can do that would reduce the burden of diabetes in future generation is work on breastfeeding. So that's when I got in touch, and I was looking for a group that was working on breastfeeding. And that's how it started, because there was a lactation group that was, because I'm not a lactation certified expert. You need to work with the people that know what they're doing. So then we got together, and that's how the BBC was formed. So
Libby, one of the groups that has been around for a long time, and people are very familiar with it, and that's La Leche League.
Oh, right.
So if you wouldn't mind sharing with us information about La Leche League and nursing, and even though, you know, this is the BBC that you're talking about, the fact that, because yesterday when I mentioned to a lady that we were doing an interview on this, she mentioned La Leche League, and I said, oh, no, there's this other coalition here in El Paso, and she was not aware of it. So that's one of the good reasons that we're here, I guess, to spread the word. But if you wouldn't mind sharing with us what Rosalba just shared about, you know, lactation and people feeling uncomfortable, in fact, even changing from breastfeeding to nursing, because it doesn't sound offensive or people get upset. And there are a lot of things in, as you mentioned before the program started, breastfeeding, nursing has been going on for ages.
Well, ever since we stood up on 2 feet.
The moment that we were mammals,
we are mammals. Our entire species is named after our mammary glands. Every mammal gives milk to their young. So, yeah, it's been around a while. Good point. The La Leche League, I am not a member of La Leche League. They've been around for maybe – 30, 40, 50 years. It's a long, old organization.
But we have members that belong to the La Leche League.
And they're it's different than what we do. They're great. We love La Leche League. They do mom's meetings. So it's mom to mom, and they get together. I believe it's once a month. And I think in El Paso we have two La Leche League groups, one that on the west side, and it meets at Las Palmas, and one on the central part of town that meets at Family Services over on Surety Drive. And so you'd have to kind of Google around to find out about those. But La Leche League had a really important role in kind of renormalizing breastfeeding after it reached its all-time low in the 1950s and 60s. The rates of breastfeeding were just in the underground at the time when people came back from World War II and they were starting big families and there were lots of suburbs being built. And women were being told, this is a really great new invention. It's very hygienic. And you can be so modern if you formula feed your baby. So that's when the rates just, like, plummeted. And they stayed low through the 70s. And that's, I believe, La Leche League gained popularity in the 60s and 70s. And then suddenly women, probably hippies like me, people were, like, looking around going, wait a second. Why are we formula feeding our babies? This makes no sense. Why are we doing this? And so then there was a resurgence, and all of this data is available on the CDC website, so I don't have to bore you with the data, but it got better. I think people started breastfeeding again. But since the 70s and 80s, it's gone up and down and up and down, and it really does sync almost entirely with the advertising that formula companies mm-hmm. do.
And that's kind of illegal. There's an international code from the United Nations and the World mm-hmm. Health Organization that states that formula companies should not advertise where parents or babies are, and they totally disregard that. And there's even a piece that talks about the strategies that the formula companies have used. Talk to the people that are not very well informed, give them the formulas, promote, undermine breastfeeding, and it's like 11 steps, and that's what they've done. So people believe, there's even some people that believe that las dos cosas, okay, I'll breastfeed, but I'll also give them formula, because there's a sense that because scientists did it and stuff like this, that formula is so good. And I think that that's one of the things that we should be talking about, because a lot of people know what are the benefits of breastfeeding, but there's this underlining message that it's uncomfortable, that it's hard, and they don't, and really women prefer, it's a preference, it's not what's best for the baby, and formula really is it does, there's no comparison between the elements that that breast milk has against formula, but it's really a formula company that's been very, very good, very smart in advertising, but it's not the healthiest for the baby. And really, sometimes they say that we have to be very careful, and because some women say, "Well, it's my choice if I breastfeed or not," but really, it's not the mother's choice; it's the baby's right to have access to the best food available for them. There's in 1991, I think it was, it's called the Inocente Declaration, and it states all the rights that babies and children have. And one of them, it's that the baby, that kids should, and even like when we're talking about obesity and diabetes, well, fruits and vegetables and stuff like this, this is what's best. Okay, what's best for an infant child is breast milk. So why doesn't it translate? And it's because money and formula companies.
Libby, you mentioned earlier about, and you answered my question, because when you said that it had gone down during the 50s and 60s, I was thinking, well, the 60s, that's kind of odd, because that was the summer of love and, you know,
late
60s. Yes. Yeah. However, one of the things that have changed, because as you mentioned, the companies had said, you know, you can be modern, et cetera. In today's world, it's almost...
they think.
Well, what's the word I'm looking for? It's almost unusual for single-income families. So sometimes the mother has to go to work, and they say, well, I can't. So if you wouldn't mind sharing that.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because I figured at some point you were going to ask us what's going on? You know, what can be made better? Why is it so bad? Because in some places, and of course everybody always mentions Scandinavia, so I'm going to mention it again. In some places, women have a lot more maternity leave, and they have, you know, employers have great policies that allow women to leave whenever they want to pump and provide their milk, you know, to whoever's taking care of the baby. But in this country, women, by and large, don't have any rights for maternity leave. So if you're lucky, if you're a professional and you have, you know, FMLA and you have 3 months that you can afford not to be paid, you can stay home and breastfeed your baby, but that's only 3 months. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge issue here, and a lot of places have worked on that. Even Mexico has better maternity leave policies than...
But Mexico is a country that in Latin America that least breastfeeds. And that reason is because the women have to work, that they think that they just go into formula because really they think that that's the best thing, and it's not.
And that's odd because one would think sometimes that perhaps Mexico would be a more traditional type of, you know, where the women use more natural.
Well, I would say the answer to that is that, well, on the border anyway, I can't really speak for the interior of Mexico. On the border, people try and imitate what they think is American. Mm-hmm. And they see people bottle feeding. So you might say, well, wow, when I, you know, when I immigrate and I, you know, get my house in El Paso or whatever, that's what I'm going to do because that's what American women do. As a matter of fact, here, it's very interesting. In most of the world, the people that are breastfeeding are poor people because they
can't afford formula.
Because they can't afford formula. So ironically, their babies are getting better nutrition and all those great benefits. Here in the United States, people are big.
The educated ones.
Are the people who are breastfeeding are educated women and women of higher income. It really, regardless of your race, it really tracks with income and education. Mm-hmm. And then people who have lower incomes and lower education are bottle feeding formula. Mm-hmm. You can bottle feed breast milk and get almost all the same benefits.
Some people might ask, well, what about if you do pump and you freeze it, how long is it good for?
Oh, well, everybody does that because everybody goes back to work. I think only 7% of the American female workforce doesn't work. 7% at some point in that first year of the baby's life. So it's everybody goes back to work. Now, we are protected by the Affordable Care Act, which was signed in 2010 but was very slow to take hold in terms of breastfeeding rights. It said that women have a right, if they're at an employer that has 50 employees or more, have a right to pump during breaks and at lunch and not be discriminated against because of it and have the right to privacy, not a bathroom, and a place to store your milk, which gets to your question, which is that breast milk in a good freezer, like, you know, if your ice cream is real hard in your freezer, if it's a good freezer, is good for 6 months. If it's not such a good freezer, maybe 3 to 4 months. Most women would be lucky to have a stash in their freezer that big, that much milk. So that's usually enough because you'd usually just keep a couple of weeks ahead of the baby.
We've become a nation, as you mentioned earlier, about of convenience. We want everything now. We want it fast. We want it done. So as you and Rosalba alluded to earlier, nursing is not easy. And I know that I have worked with my doctor when our children was born. They were very supportive of my wife, and they encouraged her. And, because the engorging, the plug ducts, everything is very painful. And so sometimes I guess they just throw in the towel and say, well, I'd rather just.
I can address that. And okay. You're right. It's not always easy. And so I think to allude to that makes women feel guilty when you say, oh, it's so much easier than formula feeding. You know, just do it because it's better for your baby and don't offer help or professional expertise to sort through those plugged ducts and engorgement and whatever else is going on. It can be really hard, and women do give up. And one of the problems that we have here in the U.S., and I don't know if this is true in Mexico, but is our healthcare professionals are not trained. Mm-hmm. And I'm not blaming them because they didn't write the curriculum in their nursing schools and medical schools, but they really don't have much breastfeeding training. So you go to your pediatrician, which is where most women have, you know, their interactions with the medical profession in that first year is pediatrics. And they say to the pediatrician, I'm not sure my baby's getting enough or it hurts or whatever, my baby doesn't want it or whatever they're saying. And the pediatrician has no professional background in helping her. Plus, a pediatrician is usually not comfortable having a mom open her shirt and look at the breasts and see what's going on. So she's kind of stuck without a professional to help her. That's one of the things the BBC has really worked on is bringing together all the lactation professionals in this region. In our coalition meets every month and sometimes more, and we all work together. We all, like, I would refer somebody, I work at Texas Tech, and I would refer somebody happily to the person I know at Del Sol or Las Palmas or UMC for help, because we all know each other. We're a very, very small group of lactation professionals, and so we can help women collectively. But it isn't always easy. We want it to be.
Mm-hmm. And the other factor is not only the health professionals, but also, like, in history of humankind, you had, like, the mothers and the tías and that knew what it was. And if there was an issue, there was somebody there that was your mom, your tía, your sister that went through it, and they would help you. So we've also lost that because our mothers, our tías, they didn't breastfeed. So that's the other issue. So one of the things that we also do at the BBC is that in order for a mother to breastfeed, she has to have the support network in order for her to do so. That means that when she goes to work, that means if it's in the home, that means if she has nobody, she can go to the baby cafe or she can go to the doctor, that we're not there yet. But the thing is that that's why we're also working. Baby cafes are excellent because you can go and you'll have somebody that, like Libby, and she'll work with you and all the questions you might have. Then you need the mother-friendly establishments because let's say that, like, when I was breastfeeding, I didn't care, but still people look at me funny and stuff like that. So it's you go to the business and you tell them, you know what, what happens if a woman wants to breastfeed and somebody complains? And they go, oh, no, I'm all for that. And then you tell, well, what if he complains? And they don't know what to say. So that's where we come in. We tell them, no, it's their right here in the state of Texas. A mother can breastfeed whatever she wants. So you would just tell this person, you know what, the lady, the person that's breastfeeding, she's just giving her baby the best nutrition that she is. And what are the benefits? And then you talk to the owner of the business, Ed, so he can be able to talk to the person that's going to have issues with the lady. And so what we're trying to do is that if there's a negative reaction from the community, the owner of the establishment stops it so the mother doesn't get that, you know? So that's a mother-friendly establishment. The mother-friendly work site, which is that when the woman goes back to work, she will be able to pump. And there's a labor law that states now that it's by law that they should give them permission, time and break time for them to breastfeed. So, but a lot of people are not doing it yet. But that's part of what we're doing, and that's we believe that these are the strategies. And then, of course, the hospitals, because if a hospital gives you formula, well, they're going to think, well, this is the best thing for my baby. So we're not there yet, but these are the different steps that we're trying to create those support networks in order to change the culture. And it's not only happening here, it's happening worldwide.
Libby, we haven't talked about the big latch on, which is going to be happening in August, but we will get to that. But we're getting some interesting history and information here, education about breastfeeding. Sometimes you will have, as Rosalba mentioned, you know, the mother gives birth and they bring the formula, but they want a nurse because they've read about it or they heard about it. But sometimes the baby won't latch on, and they have a hard time and say, well, it's not working, so let me give me the formula.
Okay, that leads me to give a huge shout out to UMC, because UMC just became baby friendly. That's a UN/WHO status. It's really hard to get, and it precludes the ability for the hospital to do that. They are not giving away free formula. And in fact, one of the things that has been happening in hospitals all over the world, and in, if you're baby friendly, if that's your designation, you can't do this. But one of the things is that they give free really big, nice diaper bags. The formula companies give them to the hospitals, and the hospitals give them to the mothers. And they're full of formula and breastfeeding misinformation and all kinds of stuff that's good for formula, you know, marketing, but not good for breastfeeding. So UMC is not doing that. And so that's really important because people do have trouble. People, you know, a baby might seem like he doesn't want to latch on, and a professional like me and other people with my credential, which is IBCLC, I'm International Board Certified Lactation Consultant, we can help. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen babies refuse the breast. It's not a lie, but you can figure it out. But they do need to seek the help of one of us. Mm-hmm. And at this point in time in El Paso, we're free.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to compare. I mean, well, as you mentioned at the beginning, we are all mammals. But sometimes people have seen puppies are born, sometimes there'll be that one puppy that just doesn't want to go, and you have to kind of guide them.
Yeah.
And slowly, little by little, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, you know, once they find that comfort, then they're okay.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about let's talk a little bit about the big latch on before we forget, because we have about 10 minutes left. But the big latch on is something that has been going on for several years now. And if you wouldn't mind sharing with us what that is and, you know, what people need to do to, you know, participate in this.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. It started in New Zealand in 2005. So that means it's been 11 years worldwide, this event, where women all over the world latch their babies on for 1 minute. It's actually kind of funny. Mm-hmm. From 10:30 to 10:31 on the first Saturday of August, because the first week of August every year is World Breastfeeding Week. And that's something that was designated by WABA, which is the World Alliance for Breastfeeding Action. It's a whole bunch of organizations that have created an alliance to promote breastfeeding, and it's the WHO, UNICEF, Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine, ILCA, my professional organization, La Leche League, WellStart International, and some other well-known organizations all form this alliance, and they're based in Washington, and they every year have a theme for World Breastfeeding Week, and this year's theme is sustainability, which is kind of exciting because everybody's talking about, you know, the Earth's resources and how we can be better stewards of the planet. And breastfeeding is right in there. It's one of those things that's very important for the future of our planet, really, mm-hmm. for so many reasons. And if you want to talk about that, we can. But so World Breastfeeding Week this year, the Big Latch On, which celebrates World Breastfeeding Week, is at Bassett Center, or Bassett Place, I guess they call it now.
Place.
Mm-hmm. On the 6th, which is the first Saturday of August, and BBC is sponsoring it. And last year we did it at Album Park, and we had 110, mm-hmm. Rosalba? Mm-hmm. 110 women latching simultaneously. We had one set of twins. And so it's just fun. It's a fun event where women come out into public, breastfeed in the middle of a very public place, mm-hmm. with the idea being this is normal, folks. Mm-hmm. Women are just feeding their babies, and they have each other. So it gives the shyer moms kind of like, you know, courage to do it too, because a lot of women are shy to mm-hmm. open up their shirts. Mm-hmm. Not so much in Portland or Boulder, but here in El Paso, we still have a lot of people who feel embarrassed. So the Big Latch On is for that. It's just a celebration of World Breastfeeding Week, but like here in El Paso, it's the BBC sponsoring it, and we have a big raffle, and we have local doctors giving us these real nice gift baskets that we're going to give away for free, and we have a couple of people speaking, but mainly it's just that 1 minute of everybody breastfeeds together, and we get media to cover it, and they get good, really like photogenic pictures of all these beautiful babies. And so it's fun.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that it is local, of course. But the thing is that there's a procedure that you have to follow, that they have to be there a little bit earlier because they have to be signed in.
Oh, thank you.
And then once they're signed in, we have like 6 hours The whole world has 6 hours, and we have to send the information to New Zealand, and that's how they tally. And last year they had like 14,000 mothers that did it at the same time. 15,000. Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. And yeah, and it's 28 countries that participate, and it's like, I don't, like 360 different sites of the, where it's done. So it's something that, what I like about this event, it's that not, we're, you know how the saying goes, act locally but think globally. This is it. This is what they mean, because not, we're not only acting as locally El Paso, we're El Paso Juarez, and then it's binational, but it's also international. So it's pretty exciting. And it's we and mothers really come up to us and say thank you, because they were shy and they call us, and it's really very, very satisfying, because we are working in something that in the long run is going to benefit our community and really our world.
And it's interesting, I'm sure that this has changed a lot because of social media, Facebook, and the fact that you can see what's going on around the world instantly.
It's true. And it makes it more fun in a way.
And the other thing, thank you for reminding me, there's another great thing that they have, that it's actually that they have, that's Selfie Sunday. Selfie Sunday. The next day is all the women that go, you can take, you know, of course you take the selfie and then you send it up, or you just put the hashtag Selfie Sunday. And it's part of, so it's kind of fun for the moms, because they feel like they're not alone. They're in this thing that a lot of women are doing worldwide. So that's.
We haven't talked about people after all this, if people want to take part in the BBC, perhaps become members, get information. What do they need to do, Libby?
Well, we have a Facebook page, and it's called Binational Breastfeeding Coalition. Is that what the page is called, Rosalba?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a website, www.borderbreastfeeding.org. We have monthly meetings. They're always posted there. Anybody is welcome. You don't have to be a lactation professional. Rosalba is a physician and a public health professional. I'm a public health professional, lactation consultant. And we have a variety of people.
A dentist, people that are designers and nurses.
Oh, true. We have our graphic artist.
We use the health professionals, but we also use, like, the term that we use with them is non-traditional partners.
But we really do invite anybody. Thank you for mentioning that. We meet on, well, this
we
year
we've
been
Twitter.
Trying to meet at the first, on the first Monday.
Of each month. And it's, we have our meetings at the U.S.-Mexico Border Health Commission. That's in 211 North Florence. And the other thing that we have, because we're binational, sometimes it's hard to get across the bridge. We have a conference call that you can be there, or you can be on your telephone, and that's very convenient. And we have people sometimes from Las Cruces, and sometimes we have people from Juarez, or even if you can't make it to the meeting, you can call in. So it's very, we've thought about these things in order that we can do the most.
We talked earlier about the history of breastfeeding and nursing, and years back, you know, people can read in history books, especially because of the well-to-do families who had wet nurses.
Right.
And sometimes you find, you know, some fabulous stories about, you know, these people who were nursed, but not necessarily by their moms.
Right. Actually, it's got a real spotty history, because a lot of times slaves were forced to do it to the detriment of their own children. But wet nursing, yeah. I'm not a historian, but I find that stuff really interesting. There are books written about it, and of course, it kind of older literature has it in there just kind of like factually. You know, people didn't really think of it as odd. Mm-hmm. What we're doing now that's a little bit more scientific, not in El Paso, but in a lot of parts of the world, is milk banking.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of a blood bank? Well, there are milk banks. And in Texas has one of the world's biggest milk banks in Austin. But we also have another one now in Fort Worth, Denver.
We have one in Juarez.
And we have one in Juarez that's just about to open. Mm-hmm. We're not sure if it's open yet or not.
I think they open it closed because they have some issues, but eventually it's going to get there because Mexico, because of what I said earlier, they did a commitment that they need to. One of the strategies that they're having is that they want to, they're pilot testing the milk bags, and they, and always the border has been in the vanguardia. The forefront.
Vanguard.
And so they started, there's nine, and three of them are in the border, and Juarez is one of them.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for being with us here today. This has been just a quick half hour, but a fascinating
thank
one.
Thank you so thank much.
Thank you so much. Again, the Big Latch On is going to be taking place on Saturday, August 6th at Bassett Place. I almost said Bassett Center, Bassett Place. And that's August 6th from 9 to 10. The actual Latch On is from 10:30 to 10:31. But you can get more information by going to borderbreastfeeding.org. Again, we've been visiting with Libby Berkeley and Dr. Rosalba Ruiz-Holguin. Thank you all very much for being with us here.
Thank you for having us very much.
The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Evan Walsh. Our producers are Lauren Terrazas and Eddie Rosales. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Luis Sainz.